This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
My view, I thought, what a wild special teams moment of block punts, kicks, kickoff returns, you know, block field goals, just a number of things, you know, going to that spot. I thought defensively the team played well on third down into that spot to go, so I was pleased to see some of that. But just, you know, not enough plays for us third downs offensively to really win it, Nikki. So unusual game for sure, but that's the division.
That is the head coach, Dan Quinn, of your 7-5 Commanders, who are suddenly, how quickly do things change in the National Football League?
Varies the answer.
3 weeks ago, they're 7-2. Only the Lions are better in the NFC. Well, this here is the, and 3 weeks later, they're a Hail Mary away from 6-6.
Well, remember we were doing the bit about the bargain? Like, would you take 1-1 sight unseen right now,
yeah.
Or? Would you take 1-2 sight unseen in retrospect? I mean, man, how quickly. You're right. I mean, with the span of, you know, you play two games in 5 days, then you add one more 10 later. So it's within 15 days, 2 weeks and a day, you're now fighting for your playoff lives.
And it would have been nice to have won one of those games with the Steelers and the Eagles. I think that was kind of the ceiling was 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people looking at those games, even at 7-2, thought there's a real good chance they're 7-4. But the reprieve on the other side, the buoy that's going to keep you from drowning is the Dallas Cowboys. And it wasn't. You went underwater. We will hit the phones in a moment, 800-636-1067. We'll get to game balls and gassers. So there's a lot you can second guess with Dan Quinn, I thought, in this game. I'm not saying all of these decisions are wrong. I'm saying all of them didn't work, okay? I'm saying if you're doing the Monday morning quarterback thing, here are some bad moments. And some of these in real time I would have done differently, frankly. First, what on earth goes into the decision to kick the field goal on 4th-and-2 on the second drive of the game? Do you remember this?
Yes.
All year long, they have gone for this. I asked him about it in the press conference after the game, if you want to find that, Darius. It's a couple of minutes into his presser from yesterday. But they ran the ball straight down the field. B-Rob for 7. Daniels for 7. B-Rob for 7. Dyami Brown for 14. Like, they're just moving down the field. They can't be stopped on the ground. And they get this 4th-and-2. And at the 30-yard line ahead of a 48-yarder, they decide to kick a 50-plus-yard field goal, which up until a couple of weeks ago before the Seibert injury, they weren't even letting him kick those. He never – but I think the Baltimore game was the first time, like a month into his time here, that he ever even tried one from 50-plus because it was such a foregone conclusion for this team that's been stopped on fourth down legitimately once all year that they just go for these. Except that this time they trotted him out there and he missed the field goal.
Really going into it, we just, you know, talked about our line to kick, and Austin had a good week at it, went to go. So once it's at the space, that's the line to get to, and we didn't feel like we had to overtry or go further for it. So it had nothing to do with anything other than, hey, we're at the spot, let's go get some points and move it from there.
That answer doesn't work for me because that means a 4th-and-1, we're at the line, it's inside of 52 today. He feels good from 52 in this side of the field, so you just kick it. Of course not. There's context. You're shoving the ball down their throat with the run. You've got the cheat code short yardage quarterback. It's 4th-and-2. You've been getting these all year long. And they just sent him out there. I hated that. And then he missed.
Yeah. So I know even if he'd made it, I'm sitting there going, no. Like, unless there's something I don't know about. Right. In real time, I'm going, maybe somebody just sprained something. Maybe the right guard can't get off the ground, or someone's out of breath, or maybe there's something I can't quite figure out. But that decision made no sense to me.
Oh, by the way, is your kicker coming back from an injury? Is this one of his longest kicks of the year? Nothing about it made sense.
Yeah, to this point, have I been a horrendous offense where I'm just so grateful for 3 points that I finally got onto that side of the field? I'm not, as you said. I got one of the three best fourth down options in the sport. The best one's that 4th-and, you know, less than a foot or a yard. It's the tush push, which I think is cheating. Then, you know, Lamar Jackson, and then you put Jaden Daniels in there. I got it. That's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. That felt off and weird to me.
I thought the end of the first half was ridiculous clock management. I wanted them to use, when they got the ball back with a little over 2 minutes left, to do what they did in the drive where they eventually scored at the end of the game, where Jaden Daniels got into a rhythm and he's hitting receivers and you're going up tempo and it's hurry up. How often do you see this where teams can't do anything all half long and then they get into the 2-minute offense and they get down the field and get points? Dallas did it, by the way, on their 40-yard completion. But at the end of the game, you saw it with Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
They couldn't hit a barn from 10 feet away in the passing game. And then at the end of the game with 5 minutes left when they had 3 points, all of a sudden now they go from 92 passing yards to 270 for the game or whatever. I wanted that up-tempo aggressiveness. They run a play and then let 25 seconds tick off the clock to get down to 2 minutes. And what they'll say is, we don't want the Cowboys to get the ball back. And to that I would say, they stink anyway. It'll be okay.
Yeah, my biggest priority is get my offense going, which has not the entire half.
Please seize some momentum. Yeah. Give your young quarterback a chance to get up tempo, which they haven't done enough because they can't move the ball. But this is a game-forced situation for that.
Yeah, so to me, that's the greatest priority, right? If my offense is humming, Jaden Daniels is great, everybody's on fire, yeah, let's play with the clock a little bit. Let's get as cute as we want to be and make sure Dallas has no time for anything fluky. That wasn't the case. They did not move the football at all that half. And as you start to do it, they took their time. Not as big a gripe for me as the not going for it on fourth down, but that's when I kind of had a head scratch too.
Okay, here's the next one. And this one's just tough. Sorry. You kicked on purpose to Kevontae Turpin at the end of the game. He is the leading kick returner in the NFL. And Danny, it's not like he wasn't scary looking in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Go back to the opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. Didn't he return it 38 yards? He had 2 30-plus yard returns in the game. I think he was averaging 35 or more yards per return.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn, after the game, was asked about that. Grab that for me, too, Darius, where he's asked about why you would have this, you know, the dirty ball is what they call it, like the kick on the ground that bounces around. What was the plan there? And he said it's harder to kick it out of bounds than you'd think. Not for most of the league, sir. 14 teams do it over 75% of the time. It just so happens that Washington does it 22% of the time, dead last in the NFL, because their kicker doesn't have the leg strength to do it. So you're right. It's hard for me to kick
him.
It out of the back of the end zone. It's hard, apparently, for Austin Seibert to kick it out of the back of the end zone. But not for most kickers. They do it just casually. And I'm sure they're not even trying to do it 100% of the time. They might occasionally strategize and go, let's pooch it. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go to the landing zone. But there's, on the season, 14 kickers, 75% of the time, touchbacks.
Yeah, it's harder to kick it out than you think. And so I thought it was really, honestly, from the kicking standpoint, executed well. So if you have to stop your feet and get a ones to go, that's the challenge. If you can get to hit the ground, that's what you're trying to do into that spot. But that's the difference.
And it was actually executed perfectly based on the ask.
Mm-hmm.
It bounced in front of him. He has to pick
between
it up.
Between his legs, yeah.
He's got to spin around. He's about to take a knee just to pick the thing up, right? And then he hits the circle button. And I will just say, that was an amazing play.
It was incredible.
Sometimes the other team makes a play. That was one of the, I hate to call it this, that was one of the coolest, like, full-speed moves I've ever seen in my life.
It reminded me of an old-school Dante Hall human joystick type thing. I thought there were two could-have-been blocks in the back, but they weren't. Neither was blatant enough where someone wasn't shoved. But, you know, contact to the back, I've seen that called against.
Sandra still me. Got blocked in the back.
I thought
about
so.
As textbook as can be.
Yeah, I thought so. So, but even still, I don't know. I know the new rules don't allow for the old school squib kick where it's landing at the, you know, the 35 and a lineman's not sure what to do with it. I mean, I know you can't do it that way anymore, but man, that's tough just to give that guy a look. And that's what happens, by the way. So often, if the first wave, when the timing is off, because that's what it is, that's what you're doing, is disrupting the timing of the coverage, which has generally been really good for Washington. If the guy gets by the first wave, that's it. It's over. Like, I think of some of those, you know, Byron Mitchell punt returns or otherwise, where, you know, the guys maybe almost fly by the tower, and then once they're done, you get through the first wave, it's you're gone.
Two-point conversion versus extra point at the end of the game is the last Dan Quinn question. Now, I am not going to beat him up on this. I don't think that was an obvious wrong decision at all. I am much more angry on the road when you're playing a superior team in that situation, or when, you know, you're gassed, or if you go to overtime, you're probably not the better team. You may not win anyway. And we've seen some of those around here.
Mm-hmm.
That annoys me way, 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 way more than you're at home. You are the better team. If you go to overtime, you're probably going to beat Dallas. But that felt like, on a day where you've already missed an extra point, Danny, where you've already missed a 2 field goal, you know, if you count the extra point, 2 kick attempts, where special teams have just been an abomination, where whatever wacky, wild, crazy thing happened, you just got, to me, that's a feel thing. The Cowboys are flustered. And oh, by the way, I call them the cheat code for a reason. I got the best short yardage offense outside of maybe Baltimore in the National Football League. I got the best quarterback on the goal line on a day where he's running for 75 and feeling good in the game. I went for it too earlier in the game, and he ran around the edge, and he made it look really, really easy, right? So I will not kill him for this, but I would have liked you to just put those stones on the table and said, let's end this thing once and for all.